Haven't these lesson studies been great? You know, it's nice to be here again. Dale, where are you? There you are. I think the last time I was here, back in 93 and 94 when I was here for, well, I came here for 3 months. That's what they told me. And I had 10 marvelous months here. Just really enjoyed it. And if I hadn't been retired, I would have fought the other preacher off and probably stayed. But I said to Dale, you know, I miss your trumpet. He said, we'll see what we can do the next time. And thanks, Dale. I appreciate hearing your trumpet. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have come into your presence this morning because of who you are. We thank you, Lord, for being reminded of that in our special music. Lord, we praise you for our young people and their willingness to take part in our worship service. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we consider you today, that we might have great understanding, that we might sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to the voice of his word and be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. One wonders exactly why the disciples made the request, Lord, teach us to pray. Undoubtedly, they had noticed his prayer life. And over again, Jesus went into the garden out by himself and spent time in prayer with his Father. And they weren't having the same experience. Prayer life hadn't meant much to them. They weren't sure really how to pray. And I've thought about that over and over. Lord, teach us to pray. Now you'll notice in the book of Luke, there in the 11th chapter, and also in Matthew, he records the same, that Jesus gave them a pattern of a prayer. And that pattern was, is this going to do better or I'm not barking at you? I don't know if you're hearing or not. I'm hearing an echo. Jesus gave a pattern, and we use it. We call it the Lord's Prayer. This morning, we'll touch on that prayer, but that's not the main prayer that I want to look at this morning. Turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, and the 17th chapter. John 17 is really, to me, the Lord's Prayer. Because Jesus was not just giving a pattern of a prayer, he was actually praying. He was praying to his Father. You'll notice that it starts out here. John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you in the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. notice. Jesus is praying for himself. His first part of the prayer is, Lord, you and I have a relationship. And I want to make sure that that relationship is not to my glory, but to your glory. And so he goes on, verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I have had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. You know, as I read this, and you'll notice that this prayer is divided into basically three separate parts as we'll go through it. The first part is Christ praying for himself. The second part is Christ praying for his disciples. And the third part is Christ praying for the world. And I looked at that and I thought, interesting. Very, very interesting. The makeup of this prayer. Christ realized that if he was not in that close relationship with the Father, and if he wasn't glorified among the people and they didn't notice that he was different, that they didn't notice that he had a close connection with the Father in heaven, that he couldn't glorify the Father in heaven. And I thought, that's interesting. I suppose that most of the time when we pray, we say something like, well, Lord, I'm want to come to you because I have a lot of needs. And then we begin to relate the needs that we have. And after we get through, we might say, well, now, you know, Lord, forgive me wherein I have failed you. And then we say, amen. How often do we pray, Lord, you have to glorify me? And that can only be done when we have a relationship. That can only be done when they can see not me, but Christ in me. And then I think of Christ. Gentle, kind, compassionate, considerate. And basically I go through Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And I ask myself the question, am I really asking for that? When I come to the Lord in prayer, am I asking for gentleness, for love, for joy, for patience, for self-control? And if I'm asking for it, am I doing it in a selfish way, or am I doing it because I want to know I have these traits so that others can see those traits in me and realize they've come from the Father? You know, it's not always easy to be compassionate. It's not always easy to be gentle. Can you imagine what Jesus went through while he was on this earth with those disciples? I look at Moses. Moses had to be one who had the traits of Christ within him. 40 years with those people. Stubborn, rebellious. And yet he was kind and he was gentle. Jesus is saying, Father, I need you on a daily basis. We can't make this once a week or twice a week. I need you on a daily basis. On a daily basis, I want you to glorify me, not for my glory, but for your glory. I come to you this morning, Father, to firm up that relationship for the day, to make certain that you and I are on the same wavelength. And then he goes on, and he begins in verse 8. Verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. How often do we pray for our church? Aren't we God's disciples on earth today? We are God's children. We claim to be his followers. We have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. And so after coming to the Lord, after praying for ourselves that our relationship might be firm, after we've said to the Lord, you know, I know what I think I need to do today. I've got it all outlined. And I know what I'm going to do. But first of all, I need to come and ask you, is this what you want me to do? He may change our schedule totally around. Because when I have allowed him to set my schedule for me, then I am ready to go out into the world and witness to individuals. I have a number of good friends there in Waterford. They're pastors of the other churches. I attend the Ministerial Association. We have a good time. We vary in our beliefs. And sometimes you wonder, are you making any impression on individuals? It was this past spring that I was talking with one of the ministers on the phone, and we were talking about a program that the Ministerial Association was going to be sponsoring within the city of Waterford among all the churches. And we got to talking about certain Bible texts. I don't remember. He brought up one or two, and I was telling him how what my understanding was and adding a few little things with it. And I wasn't sure what he was going to accept and what he wasn't, you know. But he had asked my opinion, and so I was taking the opportunity to share with him what I understood from the Word of God. All of a sudden, on the other end of the phone, I heard him say, "Paul, you ought to be teaching us." I said, "Well, I don't know about that." He said, "No, really." He said, "I have learned things about the Bible in this short conversation that I never knew was there." And it dawned on me, here is a man of the Word of God of Scripture. And some of the simple things that we take as simple, because we've known them all our lives practically, they didn't even know were in the Scripture. You know something? There are things in the Word of God that a lot of us don't know either, because we're always learning. And that's why we, like the Father, like Jesus, must pray for that connection, that being connected with God, we may help one another become connected with God. Remember, Jesus said to the Father, "I'm going to be out of the world. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to have to put up with this much longer. It's almost over. But they're going to still be here. They're still going to be here. They're going to face it. We are rapidly coming to the place, folks, where we're going to face things that we have never faced before. The devil is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And our only safety, our only security, is being tied firmly to the Almighty God. And that can come only as we communicate with him. You know, the world has a lot of communication systems. I don't know much about them. You know, that computer, that thing. I don't know, it's got a brain or a mind of its own, and I have a hard time figuring it out. In fact, there are a lot of things about the computer I don't even want to figure out. So I don't even get involved in it. But it's all time-consuming. Hours. You know, I wonder what these kids used to listen to before the cell phone. You wonder? Well, we used to walk up and down the street and around the school and every place, and we didn't have anybody to talk to unless somebody was there. But, you know, here we go. And you walk through a department store or a grocery store, and you got to watch everything because here they come. They haven't a clue who's around them. Oh, if we could just spend that kind of time with God, how much closer we would be to be his witness. First of all, we make sure our connection is there. It's sure. It's secure. And then we begin to share that connection with our fellow men, our fellow believers. Jesus talked about himself first. then he prayed for his disciples. Then it goes on. And he says, verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. Now he's going out to the world. And how are these people out there that he's praying for now going to hear about him? Through the words of his disciples. So first of all, we pray for ourselves. Then we pray for our church. Then we say, Lord, you lead me to somebody today to whom I can witness. For there's a world out there that is waiting for a gospel of hope, a gospel of assurance, a gospel of rescue from this world. I've often thought as I have read this prayer of Christ, of what it meant to the disciples. You know, we recognize that Jesus told the disciples over and over again that they were going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be arrested, he was going to be tried, he was going to be crucified, and he'd come back in 3 days. And they didn't understand anything of what he was saying, because their minds were so steeped in what they had always been taught. And even after his resurrection, they were still asking, Lord, is it now time for you to set up your kingdom? They still hadn't gotten the word. Is it possible that sometimes we have a lot of knowledge, but we haven't gotten the word of what God wants us to understand? How about our prayer life? You know, the disciples didn't learn how to pray until the upper room. Matthew 26 tells us that Jesus was really struggling with what he knew was coming. And he took them out into the garden. And he took Peter, James, and John a little farther into the garden than the rest of them. And he says, my soul is heavy, heavy, heavy. And he went off to pray. And he said to them before he went, you stay here and watch and what? Pray with me. What'd they do? They slept. They went to sleep. And Jesus came back and he said, Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Well, we don't get Peter's reaction, but apparently it didn't sink in because he went away, and what'd Peter do? He went back to sleep. Can you imagine what might have happened to Peter if he had spent that time in prayer, pleading with God to solidify that relationship? Could he have possibly avoided denying his Lord? What is our strength? What is our communication line? It's prayer. It's the only communication line we have. Prayer and the study of his word. You know, I look at our church today, and I realize there are a lot of changes coming in. And I say to myself, you know, we're told we have nothing to fear for the future except we forget the way we were led in the past. And I go back in history and read how things worked in the past. And I found that instruction came to our forefathers as they knelt before the open Bible, praying, "Lord, open to me your word. Reveal it to me." We're also told that any new light that comes will come through that method. So if I'm getting information and instructions and things from any other source, it probably is a dangerous source to go to. For the only true and source that is reliable is here in God's Word. And you know, I can read it, and you've had the same experience. You can read a verse in the Bible over and over again, over through the years, and then one day you read it and say, boom, I never saw that before. Why? Well, maybe it wasn't the right time to reveal it. I don't know. Or else it might have been that I wasn't ready for it. Remember the Lord said to his disciples, "I have a lot of things I want to tell you, but you're not ready for it?" Maybe I wasn't ready for it. Maybe I was in a spirit of prayer that I'd never been in before. And the Lord says, now is the time. You see, the disciples went through a bitter experience because they knew Christ. They knew who he was, but they never really surrendered to him. We can know all about Christ. We can know about the Father. We can know about the Holy Spirit. But the question is, have I surrendered? Has he become real to me? Is he really a part of my life? Am I allowing him to guide me, to direct me, to instruct me? Jesus said, first of all, make your connection with the Father certain. Secondly, share that with your fellow Christians. And third, share it with the world. He was an old Indian chief. He'd come out of the spirit world, and he learned to know Jesus Christ. And he couldn't help proclaiming the name of Christ. Everybody he talked to, wherever he was, that name came up. One day, a friend of his, they were walking together, and he said to him, "Chief, how's come you're always talking about this Jesus, 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 all the time? Why?" The old Indian chief stood there a little bit, thinking. Then he bent over and he started picking up some dry grass. And he kind of twisted it together, and he made a circle of this dry grass. He looked around, and he found some twigs, and he started putting the twigs on top of the dry grass. Then he walked over to a milkweed, and he picked a caterpillar off of the milkweed and put the caterpillar right in the middle of that circle. Then he took a match and he lit the grass, and it started to blaze. As that caterpillar began to feel the heat, he started moving in every direction, trying to get away from it. But the fire was encircling him. And as the twigs caught on fire, the fire got hotter and hotter. And there was that little caterpillar struggling to get away from the fire. And finally, it just stuck its head up, and as though there was no way out. And when he did, the chief went down, put his finger right in front of the caterpillar. The caterpillar crawled up on his finger, and he drew it out. He looked at his friend, and he said, "And that is exactly what Jesus did for me. I was in the midst of a great firestorm. There was no way out. I had no way of escape. But Jesus reached down, even in my situation, and pulled me out. Saved me from destruction. How can I keep from praising his name?" And beloved, that's exactly what Jesus has done for all of us, every one of us. We've been in that miry pit of sin, surrounded by the evils of the world around us. No power within ourselves to deliver us from that position until Jesus went to the cross. And he reached down and rescued us. He went to the Father first. Then he came to his disciples, and then to the world. We need to follow his example. We need to make sure that that connection is sure and certain. And then he will pull us out of the miry pit and set us on that golden street where sin and sinners will not step. But it's not our power, it is his power. And I would recommend to each of us today to follow the pattern of Jesus. To have a prayer life that is sufficient to bring us out of the miry mud of the world today. Surround us with his love and his arms of grace, and allow him to lift us to freedom and to safety. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, We want to be like you. Father, we just want to allow you to take control of our lives. We look to you today, Lord. We surrender. Lord, accept us. Take us by the hand, Lord, and lead us day by day, step by step. Show us your grace. Fill us with your love. Lord, may we walk with you day by day. May that walk with you be the greatest, the most important part of our day. And the things of this world will begin to drift away. The most important thing in the world, Lord, is that we might see you come in the clouds of heaven and know that you're coming to take us home with you. Bless this church, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that a pastor is coming. Lord, I pray that his leadership will continue to lead and to guide and to direct this church that has been so faithful through all this time when they've been without a pastor. May the witness in this community blossom and thrive, and multitudes of individuals surrender their hearts and lives to you and come and worship with your believers here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.